I'm now here with Lee Bryant from Headshift. Lee, you heard the debate, and Headshift, tell me. I'll put it in your words.
Well, we're kind of about the impact of social technology on organisations. So we're about kind of humanising organisational structures, really.
Do you find that in a debate like this evening's that the kind of partisan nature of the discussion sort of masks a lot of where the benefit lies? That when you look at social technologies as point scoring, it kind of misses where the good stuff is happening.
Yeah, totally. I think that happens on two dimensions. One is the party aspect, which is absurd, because if Cameron and Clegg can have a love-in coalition, then why on earth would anyone go around fighting other people just on the basis that they're in a different party? Also, the three main parties are so similar. You know, we're not in the Cold War. We're not in the 1980s. It's not some massive life-or-death ideological struggle. They're just outdated organisations. And I think what was exciting about the debate, and I think Joe Trippi called it right at the end, you know, what we're seeing is the beginning of the disintermediation of the parties. Yeah. And just as Obama could reach out to people direct and actually leave behind much of his own Democratic Party, so too I think Cameron and Clegg are going to try and do the same, and probably need to do the same, in order not to be held back by their own organisations.
Do you see that process and the way that popular support for that can be kind of crowdsourced and tracked online, that we're going to see that pushes forward the calls for electoral reform really strongly?
I think it does, but also I think this is where the internet and the social web can play a much more important role than we saw in the election itself.
Yeah.
The election itself is like a staged, it's like one of those historical recreations of battles, you know, it's a kind of a staged pitch battle, yeah, with a very structured kind of timeline to it. And so the impact is inevitably fairly small on that. But actually, over the long term, in terms of garnering support, consulting with people, staying in touch with people, I think that's where we'll see the impact of the internet in assisting the current kind of new politics coalition, if indeed that's what it is.
Are you seeing people kind of self-organising online into sort of post-political sort of cultural and social organisations, in the sense that they're doing the things that political parties should be doing but ignoring a partisan angle on it?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, for me, the modern Labour Party, the new Labour Party, is the very antithesis of social media, because they, you know, they've grown up with obsession with message control, inauthentic communications, yeah, and manipulation. And I think the time for that has gone. So, you know, that was in the 1980s and the 1990s. We're now, you know, we've moved on from there. So I think that they need to learn lessons from how people organise, you know, online themselves. Because people don't organise and then say, hey, I'll join an organisation that has 200 policies and I disagree with 150, but I'll pretend that I don't.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to be dishonest anymore. There's such diversity in our networks that we can cooperate with people even if we don't agree on 200 individual policies.
Yeah.
You know, we can just get things done together, and I think that's what the new politics is all about.
Do you think that what Stella was saying about actually using social media to just connect with the people around it and listen and be a part of a community rather than attempt to kind of command and control it, that gives some kind of hope for where the Labour Party might go if they get that?
Absolutely. I mean, look, the history of the Labour Party, the historical values of the Labour Party are much needed, whether in government or in opposition. And Stella is awesome, and Stella is exactly the kind of person that the party needs to look to. I mean, you know, we're going to have a leadership campaign now, which I fear is going to snap back to the Mandelson-Campbell era. Yeah. You know, both Miliband seem like really nice guys, but for some reason, David can't seem to communicate in a personal way. He sounds Blairish, and nobody trusts that anymore. It's quite clear that that's fake. So he needs to strip away that stuff, and I think the party should look more to people like Stella, who are connected with their communities, who believe in communities, and who are, you know, wonderful organisers of people and very honest. And I think that's where the future lies for the party.
It seemed, particularly on Twitter, which has a kind of enormous, eye-wateringly left-wing bias, that there was a massive amount of support for the Labour backbenchers and an enormous distrust, a gulf between the support for the backbenchers and the distrust of the frontbench. was enormous, and that kind of somehow needs to be reconciled.
It does. I mean, the very notion that the organised Labour Party can call itself progressive, I find is absurd. I mean, they are to the right of Cameron on just about any meaningful issue. So how they can continue to use the progressive label is beyond me. Yet I know that because of the history within the party, there are so many really decent, good people who want, not left, it's not about left. I mean, the ideals of the left are good, but the methods of the left usually fail. And so what we're talking about is human values. You know, we're talking about making society better, helping people who need help. We're talking about, you know, an inclusive society, a society that doesn't leave people behind, as we see in the United States. You know, these are fairly basic values that actually most people agree with, but they don't need to buy into all the, you know, the bullshit political organisation, the fighting, the battles, the Ed Balls and unions and all that crap. You know, that's that. We should leave that behind in the 1980s and really move on, I think.
Thanks very much, Lee.